Hello, everyone, and welcome back to a new podcast. I'm your host, Marcos. My fellow host, as always, Justin.
Great episode.
That was a really great episode, actually. Great episode. I really enjoyed that episode a lot. And it was really fun hearing from Kristen Hoard herself.
Yes. You may know her from Insecure on HBO Max, Snowfall, or Grand Crew. All amazing shows. We talked about a lot of great stuff about the process of acting, being in LA, being in Hollywood, quote unquote Hollywood, separating your career from who you are. You know, what you do doesn't define you. That's like one of the biggest things. That was good.
Yeah, I really enjoy pretty much, you know, trying to discover who you are after they call cut, you know? You know, you're not your job. You know, that's just what you do.
Yeah.
So initially, we tap in on that. We tap in on, you know, her being from Houston and transitioning to the life here in LA and how fast-paced it is compared out there and all the good stuff that comes with that.
Yeah. Great conversation. Well, we're going to stop gatekeeping you guys from Kristen Hoard. Enjoy.
Welcome to the new podcast.
Kristen, how's everything? How's life?
Man, you know, life is good. Yeah, just working. Yeah. You see me, I'm outside too, so we're having fun still. But you know, as in the entertainment industry, I do a lot of things, so I work a lot. But you know, you also gotta work hard, play hard.
Yeah. So I see that you're also a TV host.
I actually moved to LA to be a TV host, actually, and a journalist. I went to college for communication. So when I got here, I worked for AfterBuzz, ESPN, and The Fumble. I worked for those three when I first got here. It was a lot, though. It was a lot of stress. I left home. I mean, I left work and got home with a headache every single day. So I really thought it's like you like something, but doesn't mean you want to do it for the rest of your life, right?
Right.
So, I made the change to actor in 2020 during quarantine, so.
So home is Houston, right?
Home is Houston. So Houston, Texas.
How is it growing up in Houston?
It's the best city to me, obviously. But it's very chill. Like, LA so quick, fast all the time. But it's very chill, family-oriented. Like, all my friends are married with kids back home. Like, it's such a different vibe there, but very family home oriented. It's a good time though.
Right. Mm-hmm. So what's the biggest thing from Houston to LA? What was like the biggest like culture shock for you? I'm like, oh my God.
Wow. Literally everything is a culture shock. Food is a culture shock. That's probably the biggest thing because I'm a foodie. I love food. You know, I'm small, but I like to eat. So being like food is way different. I want to say probably the people also is different. Everything's different. Have you ever been to Houston?
No.
The furthest
I've gone into Texas was Dallas for a layover. I was in the airport. So growing up in Houston, growing up, what was the hobbies? Like basketball? Was acting already in it or is it just basketball?
I wasn't even thinking about acting. Yeah. It was basketball. That was my life. Well, okay, let me stop playing. Mm-hmm. I played all sports, volleyball, basketball. I ran track. I played tennis. Like I played everything. But I went to college for basketball. So obviously that was number one. But when I was young, I was like, I'm going to be the first girl in the NBA. That was my goal. I didn't even think about acting. Like even in school when we had to choose hobbies like acting or art and stuff, like I never chose theater or acting. So it's crazy how I'm here today doing this. Yeah.
And it's kind of crazy how you said you started in 2020, right?
Yeah.
So you started in 2020 and you're already on three network shows.
Yeah.
Isn't that wild? Like people that come here to LA, it takes them years. Right. And you're on three shows already. Does it feel like destiny that, like, dang, I think I'm really supposed to do this. Like, I'm already doing this well. Like, how does that all feel?
It's weird. I don't really feel anything. I don't know. I think growing up, my parents instilled us that we're supposed to be great. So I don't even think about, I don't celebrate my accomplishments like that. So when people talk about it, I'm just like, oh yeah, I guess that's kind of cool. But you know, it's just, I put my head down and keep going. I just keep working. So, but yeah, now that you say it like that, I guess it's kind of cool.
honestly, it's really cool. So how's the, you know how people say, oh, you got to fall in love with the process.
So
yeah, what's your process? Like, what's your process from auditioning, from everything, the grind?
Yeah, man. You know, when I first started in 2020, you know, we couldn't go outside or do anything. I just literally studied I went on YouTube, studied. I went on, oh, there are so many different websites that you could just learn. But I was just listening to everybody and how their processes were. And then I kind of tried to figure out my own. When you get the script, you really have to study it like it's a test almost. You have to figure out everything from the weather that might be that day. You know, you really have to put yourself in the zone of that person to really understand the script.
How long does that usually take you to deconstruct the script?
Man, that for me, probably like, because they tell you to read it probably like 15 times. You need to read the script like 15 times before you even deconstruct the script. Mm-hmm. So like there's like 8 steps. Oh, I forgot the teacher that taught me this. I'm so mad. I really want to tell y'all. I might Google it while I'm talking.
Go ahead and Google
but
it.
There's like 8 steps to deconstructing a script. And it's like you have to put yourself, what time, what's the weather like? What's your age? Are you family oriented? Do you have your parents? How did you grow up? Like, things like that. Trying to figure out your character. Then you have to figure out the character that you're in the scene with. Like, you have to deconstruct their personality and their home and how they grew up. So it's like really everybody in that scene you have to figure out because you have to put yourself in that. Like, it's really you now. Like, that's who you are. So you can't really fake that. People can see when you fake it and when it's real. You know, so I think that's the biggest thing as is just being real and not just acting.
Right.
Deconstructing the script, you kind of just remember your lines. It's not even memorizing at that point because after you're reading it, after you read it like 15 times and deconstructing your personality and their personality, it's like it comes natural now because like just memorizing it, you're not going to do well. Right, like, that's not what acting is. Right. Dang.
At that point, like, you know, your co-star's like lying. So you're easily able to bounce back and forth and keep the same energy and, you know, set that in scene.
Yeah, that's exactly. Incredible. And it's
acting is huge, right?
Yeah.
Being able to say the line at the right time, with the right feeling and emotion, you know, and then be able to, replicate that as well.
Yeah.
You know, so you guys both have to initially be on the same wavelength. So, I mean, you deconstructing that helps you out, but also helps them out, you know?
Right, exactly. It's kind of really living in it. Mm. So if you're arguing in a relationship and it's a scene about going back and forth arguing, right? You should know your lines, but it kind of just flows. Like, you cheated and now I'm mad. So it's like the lines are there, but you're not really thinking about the lines when you're in the scene. Right. That's the crazy part.
When you read the script, you put yourself in that situation.
Yeah.
You know that you're in that situation. So what would you actually say in that situation? Mm-hmm. Like, you know the script already.
Yeah.
So it's just like putting yourself in that scenario and whatever comes out. When I memorize and I'm trying to memorize, you can tell that I'm trying to memorize while I'm acting the scene out. It's like I say a word, I'm like thinking like, oh, what's happening? Oh, shit. Okay, all right, cool. Like, you can kind of see in my eyes that I'm trying to remember what I'm saying. But if you just like deconstruct it, like you said, and like, be in it and live in it, hope will come out naturally, you know? So,
because that's tough. Because think about it, because a lot of acting too has to do with body control and how your body moves and how your body's presented. So, like, when you're trying to memorize your lines, you're not really, truly, you don't know how your body's controlling itself, you know? Because the whole time you're trying to, memorize that line. Mm-hmm. So, I think that's, that's probably one of the 8 steps, maybe. I don't know. Just throwing it out there.
It's the bodies. And when you're, because they also say, really, they don't even really want you to rehearse with the other person before you get on set, just because they want it to be so real and so natural. So it's just like, it's really who that character is, how that character would act in that scene, and everything just flows. You don't think about it.
Right.
Yeah.
So in 2020 was COVID, and that's when you started, right? Mm-hmm. And in auditioning then was a bunch of self-tapes. Mm-hmm. Have you done an in-person audition yet? No.
I think they're starting to go back in person for commercials, though.
Okay.
So commercials are going back in person, but film, no, not yet.
You haven't gone to an in-person one yet?
I don't know
how people used to do it back then that everything was in person.
Yeah, that's why actors couldn't have like real jobs. It's hard to sustain ourselves. Right. Well, I wasn't an actor back then, but it was hard for actors to sustain themselves. Now actors can have like jobs so we can like actually live in good places again while we're going through this journey. Like I actually have a 9-to-5 now because I can do that doing self-tapes. So it's cool.
You could come home from your 9-to-5, do a self-tape, and you're in the game still.
Yeah.
Dude. And I can only imagine like the pressure of going to like those in person. You're seeing the same kind of character that they want. You're like, man, I should have not brought the cowboy hat, you know? Like, you know? So it's like you see the competition, and then right. You're hearing the room, and then you're like, you're hearing what they're saying, and then like, damn, I think this guy already got it. Like, I don't even know why I'm here. Like, you go in your car and you cry, and you're like, shit, should I still keep doing this? And damn, that, and then I can see how like when you're in your atmosphere, I guess, with the self tapes, it's a little weird, right? Do you feel like, or is it the same thing?
Honestly, I didn't do an in-person.
Oh, that's audition. Right. You never did an in-person. That's right. So you've only, damn.
Yeah. So okay. I don't even know how that is. True. To be honest.
Damn.
But my friends say they like self-tapes. No, I lied. Actually, my friends say I think they like in-person more.
Really?
Now I think about it, because just really interacting with the casting directors and them feeling your vibe, they like that more than just seeing them on self-tapes.
Right.
So I think they like in-person more. Because when you study and you're in acting classes all the time, like, you're kind of a little bit more confident than to think about the competition like that.
Right.
So it's like basketball. Do you play sports?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
Yeah, so it's just like when you're playing sports, like, I don't, like, that dude dunked, okay, I can dunk too. Like, you know, I'm just as good or better. Like, I was hella confident on the basketball floor. I don't care what they were doing. So I know, like, acting is the same thing. When you study all the time and you're reading and in acting classes, you're just confident the same way.
Right.
You know?
And it's being an athlete and getting into this industry, I feel like that's a huge advantage for us.
Right.
Just because we know what it's like to compete against people. We know what it's like to fail. We know basketball, for me, I try to relate everything I do in acting from basketball.
Really?
So it's like, if I, like, when I was playing still, I would train all the time. I'm like, okay, I got to put in the work.
Mm-hmm.
I got to put in the fucking work.
Yeah.
If I don't put in the work, I'm not going to be good.
Exactly.
And I got to put in the mental work as well. I got to make sure I'm all right. You know, like, ooh, I'll make sure I'm good here. Because if I'm not good here, I'm gone. Like, I'm done. So in acting, you know, especially what we do earlier, what I was talking to you about, was trying to keep your self-esteem up. Yeah. Trying to stay positive. Mm-hmm. What's that process for you? Because we get so many no's. We compare ourselves. We see other people get jobs. Like, fuck, I can do that too.
But, you know what's really crazy? I actually took a mental health break because I literally broke down. During the summer, I literally broke down because I got to a director session for a series regular. And that's like one of the last steps before you get it. Right. So I'm like, in my mind, like, oh my gosh, I think my life about to change. You know, I'm thinking too far ahead of the game. Like, I'm like excited. I'm like, I don't know what to do. So I get into the audition. It's like over the computer still. And the director's right there. And the other castmates are on the other side of the screen. Mm-hmm. And we're doing it. I literally like black out. Like, I was so nervous. I blacked out. I know I did. I know I did well, but I still like blacked out. I barely remember the audition. But I know I didn't get it. I mean, I didn't get it, and like, I literally broke down. I told my manager, like, I don't want to audition. I don't want to do anything for like months. Jeez. So I didn't do anything for like 2-3 months because I was so, my mental health went all the way down. Because you think your life is about to change. That's another thing. Like, in acting, you literally can't think I got it until you're on set. You know?
Oh my God! Yes,
it can change even right before set. So you can't be excited or celebrate until you're literally on set. So now I know that after that experience,
right.
Oh my mental gosh. Health was crazy. So sometimes you gotta take a break because your mental health does go up and down. So now I'm back. I booked something last month, so I'm back.
Yeah.
You know, with my mental health is better. Hallelujah. Yeah.
I literally relate to what you just said about now you're on set and someone said action.
Yeah,
it's not secure. Like a month ago, I booked a commercial and they started like lagging on responding to me. So I'm like, this is weird, you know? Yeah. Like, and all of a sudden they say, your wardrobe is canceled for tomorrow. And I was like, okay. In my mind, I'm like, they might actually just cancel my scene.
Oh.
And like a good 15 minutes later, I get the email from one of the producers like, hey, we canceled your scene, but we'll still pay your day rate, but we can't give you your buyout anymore.
Wow.
And I'm like, I texted him about it. I was like, bro, I feel like shit. Like for 48 hours, I felt like complete shit. Cause like, fuck, I got a fucking commercial. Like, this is big time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm happy. I'm excited.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, we're canceling your scene. I'm like, oh God.
Like, it's like every actor has to learn that, you can't celebrate till you're on set. Cause it's so up and down.
Literally.
This industry. They say actors are the craziest cause our industry is the most so up and down. Like, it's just, you just don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah. we literally got to be a little bit psycho to be in this industry.
That's what they say.
You got to be a little bit
at least 1% psycho.
Yeah. You think you're going to make it in Hollywood? Yeah. Hell yeah, I do. Like, I'm crazy.
Dude, like when she's talking about deconstructing a script, like that can make it crazy in itself. You're reading a damn script 15 pages over and over and over again, expecting to get a different result or expecting to feel a different emotion, you know,
right.
to try to relate to the character. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, you have to be a little crazy.
Yeah. It's crazy to go after something that only 1% kind of make it in.
Yeah.
It's kind of fucking crazy. But we all still believe in ourselves. Like,
yeah.
You know, it's like, we're going to freaking do it. So I talk about Insecure and Issa. I know I've asked you this before. We were working at Big Shot.
Uh-huh.
I was like, hey, so how's Issa Rae like on set?
Oh, my gosh. You know? Literally. Right when I saw her, I'm like, wow, she's a freaking boss. Yeah. She is such a boss on set. Because I had to act right across from her. So she was in my entire scene. But, wow, I was just like, I was probably so mesmerized. I was probably looking at her like she was like my husband or something. You know, I was just like, just listening to everything she's saying. Obviously, she's the creator, writer. And even the director was coming to her asking her questions like, how do you want to do this? And I'm like, wow, she's just an all-around boss.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I want to do. Right, so she's literally my idol because I'm like writing and I'm writing. I wrote a pilot and I'm about to do a short film for it. So like I'm literally trying to be Issa Rae. Like, she's such an idol to me. So just having that be my first booking, I'm like, what the heck? I'm Insecure. Across from my idol right now.
That's it. Yeah, I watched that show. I like it.
Yeah.
I love it. You know, and then Issa Rae too. And she's a producer, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
She created the show and she's starring in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the goal. That's exactly what I'm trying to do.
Oh,
yeah.
So what's your short film about? What's the pilot that you wrote? What is that about? Can we talk about it? Or
yeah, it's actually about basketball. That's funny.
Cool. Yeah.
Basically, a true story about me growing up playing basketball in high school. And then eventually I wanted to get into college, too. So kind of as the seasons go. But yeah, the first season is just me and like my group of friends and my first love. Just growing up playing basketball with all the stuff going around. Like, we're not just athletes, we're also real people, so we have real stuff going on in our lives that can mess up like what's going on in the court. So it's just basically that, all the stress and stuff that athletes go through.
Yeah process, like,
oh my gosh, it is literally so much. Writing is a lot, and I will probably never do it again. But my sister is really the writer. She came out here to write. She went to college, she graduated from college to write, so she's really like the biggest writer. I'm kind of dang near the co-writer of it. She taught me how to write. She went to LMU, and the process is actually really long. They say it probably takes like 50 drafts before you get before you get the final draft, you know. You have to write it over and over and over again.
Right.
So the process is not even, it's not fun for me, but it's fun for her. Not fun for me. But it takes a long time. It's probably worse than acting, to be honest. Yeah.
I can imagine. I feel like read one draft and you're like, that's shit.
Yeah.
And then you reread it again. Oh, it's pretty good. And then the next day you read it again. Oh, it's like shit again. Yeah. God damn it.
Yes. It's a never ending battle. It is. It's really never ending. Because they could, even on set, I remember they changed the script literally the day before they gave it to me.
Wow.
So, like, even on my last set, actually, on Grand Crew, when I auditioned to when I got on set, they changed the script. So I had different lines. So. Yeah, they can change it literally up to the day you're on set.
Right.
So many drafts.
So how, when they changed that script on you the night before, did you have to like readjust and relearn everything?
I'm not a series regular, so it wasn't like changing too much. But it was a pretty easy change. Just added a couple more lines to it. But yeah, it was an easy change for me.
Yeah.
But like for series regulars, if they change stuff, it might be a little bit harder for them.
Yeah, of course.
But I mean, talking to the series regulars, they say it's all the same. It's always it's a good time. It's not too crazy. And a lot of times they don't say everything on the scripts anyway. You can deviate, especially if you're a series regular with all those lines.
Yeah.
You can deviate a little bit. So it's just
they give you that knowing little your bit craft.
Freedom. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Damn, that's pretty sick.
Yeah.
So I talked about this with Marcos before. kind of like the hierarchy and when you get on set, you kind of can see it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you kind of see how they treat everybody and how many luxurious things you have. So maybe not a lot of people that are not in film may not know, but we know. Mm-hmm. So like you just got the tent and then you got the day players and the smaller trailers and then you got the series regulars and these big old trailers and stuff. They have separate lines for things. It's it's kind of nuts, right? It's like seeing what it could be and the potential of how life could be and like being able to control so many things in so many lines, being a series regular, like that's the stuff we strive for, you know? And
series regulars obviously are treated like kings and queens. They usually have somebody that's at their beck and call at all times, whatever they want, like, oh, I want a water, oh, I want some gum, I want this. Like they go get that for them and bring it to them. So you see that. But it's crazy because the last that I was on, I was treated really well to be a co-star. I got a big trailer. They were asking me what I wanted. They brought it to me too. I had my own chair with my name on it. I was like, this is a lot for a co-star. So I don't know if they're starting to treat people better now. I don't know, but I was treated well. It also varies from show to show, obviously. The producers maybe really care about treating everybody equally, maybe on that show. So I got treated really well for a co-star on that show. But Insecure, you know what? I did get treated like co-star. I had a small trailer. I had to actually go get my food. I went to go get my food, but I got it first. But I had to go get my food. Whereas a co-star on Grand Crew, they brought my food to me. I was like, okay, you know, this co-star completely different. Depends on the shows.
It's we're talking about. Oh yeah, this set they didn't bring my food. This set they brought my food. This set we had this. This set we had that. And like when people that listen, they're like, God damn, these actors have it really well. This is the stuff they talk about.
They're probably like, oh wow, they didn't bring your food. Oh wow, okay, tough shit, dude. Move on.
Wait, you get free food on set? Yeah. Like even the you know how actors get free food? Like it's. Yeah. Everything is free. They have a whole snack table, everything. And it's like, wait, what? You get free shit at work? We got to pay for every single thing. Like, you know, we got to go out and bring our own lunch or buy our own lunch. But you guys, what? That's crazy.
You know? Yeah, actors are so spoiled. Yeah.
Truly. So you said that Issa Rae is kind of like, you know, the women that you look up to and everything. So hang on writing out the whole season or like are you planning on have just your sister write it and all that stuff?
Yeah, I plan on having other writers do that. I mean, I can be Issa Rae up to the writing point because writing is not fun for me. So I feel like I can be a consultant. Like I'm going to have to tell them the story, obviously, because it's my story. So I'll be the consultant and they write it. That's how far I'm going to go with that. Right, yeah. Have you guys ever tried writing before?
Yes. I have, yeah.
Was it a lot for you too?
It was kind of fun. What was rewarding about it? Was seeing your writing come to life, was seeing your words being spoken by someone else,
how
you want them to be spoken too, was phenomenal because you're writing something and it's all an idea in your head at first,
right?
And then so you're picturing the character, you're picturing the subtext and how that character is going to be and how you want them to even speak and how you want you know that character to initially be in your story, and then so you write it a certain way, and you know seeing that come to life, you know, and seeing people, you know. Talk your words initially, they're your ideas. So it's definitely rewarding in that sense, but it's very tedious work. And it does take, we've talked about this before, like the way some people write, they do a lot of research. So like if you're writing about a culture, you know, you would do culture, you would do research on that culture, find out how they talk, you know, find what they do, you know, life to life, day to day, you know. And it's definitely a lot of work. Writing is a lot of work. And it's hard for one writer. To do, you know, so most of these shows have a team of writers. They have six plus writers, you know, writing out one scene. And it's just a bunch of, that's different brains and different ideas being, you know, pinballed around in one room. So, I mean, it is hard being like a single writer. So I can, it's fun though. But
it's fun.
Yeah. Nah, definitely. I'm more behind the scenes guy too. So. Okay.
I'm never writing. Okay, never say never.
But yeah, you never know.
I probably don't plan on, right? I would be, just off self-tapes, I am the most tedious dude. I will see the littlest thing that no one else would probably see. But I'm like, Gotta redo that shit again. I don't like how my eye twitched on that little second right there. Do it again. Yeah. Like, do it again. I hate myself. So in writing, if I just see one little thing I don't like, I would be like, yep.
Scratch it.
Fuck the whole script. Yeah. I'm doing it again. I don't care anymore. But fuck the whole script. Yeah, fuck the whole script. But anyways, I want to talk to you about, like, as an actor, you're like, you know, like, that scene, was that good? Like,
right.
Oh, did I read that line correctly? I'm good. Do I look good? Like, mm-hmm. I'm fine. I'm good. So I'm trying to just have two lives where acting is acting and then my personal self-worth is completely away from what I'm doing acting, because in basketball, my self-worth was in basketball. Am I doing good enough? Am I providing enough for my team? That's my self-worth. Wow. And it really messed with me to the point where when I stopped playing basketball, I had no idea who I was.
Wow.
I'm like, what's my worth? Mm-hmm. You know, for as an actor, I've only done like one thing that's actually where I have lines in, mm-hmm. right? And after that, I was like, dude, why do I feel so sad and empty?
Right.
But because I never really determined what my self-worth was. Like, what am I doing? You know, yeah. for myself. So for you, like, how do you determine that? Like, from being an actress and doing that and your self-worth in that, and from being just Kristen?
And they say enjoy the journey. You really have to not only don't put all of yourself into acting. That's why people always say, it's funny, I see this on Instagram a lot, that people in the industry make their job their identity. Like, it's like, acting is me. That's all I'm doing. I'm an actor. Like, that's not your identity. What else do you like to do? You have to live your life. You could die tomorrow, you know? You still need to live your life. Like, do you like to go surfing? Do you like to, you know, go out and get some drinks with friends? Like, you have to live your life on this journey. Right. You can't just act and that's it. Because I feel like your life will be wasted. Right. You can't make your job your whole identity. It's like in corporate America, like, bank tellers don't make their whole identity, right? So it's just like, this is acting as a job. And even though you love it so much, you can't make that like your whole life,
right?
Because you're not gonna be able to live your life. You have to enjoy the journey. Go outside and go network and go have fun. Meet new people. Right. Do different stuff. Because when you make it your whole identity, like, that's when your mental health is gonna go up and down. You know?
Exactly. Yeah.
I feel like that's why in 2020 and 2021, I feel like it was kind of my identity, and I feel like a lot of actors do that, and I did that as a beginner, but then I learned, I don't know who I talked to, but that's why you need to go outside and talk to people. I talked to somebody, and they're like, you can't make that your whole identity. So that's now you see me on my Instagram, like, I go outside and I go have fun and do different things. Like, live life.
No doubt. Yeah,
so I think that's the biggest thing.
I'm trying to learn that, where it's like, because a lot of people say, oh, I'll do that when I make it.
Yeah.
I'll go to Paris when I make it. Like, why can't we just do it now?
Yeah, you can do it now.
You know, why am I going to wait till I make it to live my life?
Mm-hmm.
You know, exactly. So that's something I'm trying to start to incorporate in my life, where it's like, I have to be when I make it. What if I never make it? Like, God forbid, what if I never make it? I'm just not going to fucking do anything for the rest of my life, you know, sit around. But yeah, I'm that's something I'm trying to learn, where it's like, break those two things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I want to be able to be good even if I never make it.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be good mentally. Like, I know professionally, if I never make it, God, I need to stop saying that. God forbid that I don't. I want to be able to be all right. Like, I want to be happy with myself and know that I want to be proud of myself. I don't want to feel like shit, you know? So that's one thing I'm for sure trying to do. And another thing, we're talking about this with a guest that we had just like a few hours. Exact thing where he's doing something completely different though. Like, he's not in acting or anything, but he talks about that, where it's like, wait till quote unquote I make it, you know?
It is about mental health too.
Ooh,
it's mental health and basketball. Because I feel like I had an injury and that messed up my mental health, because I couldn't play anymore or play for a long period of time. So I feel like mental health is in like almost every industry and everything that you do. Like, it's crazy how you cannot make that your identity. We just talked about how you made basketball your identity. Yeah, that was my identity too when I was young. So when I messed up my leg and I couldn't play, like, your mental health goes down. So that's why you need people to talk to.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Especially if you don't feel like you have somebody to talk to, like, get a therapist. I just posted about free therapy on my Instagram not too long ago.
There's free therapy?
Yeah, there's free therapy. True. I just feel like Google it. There's free resources out there. So if you feel like you don't have anyone you can talk to, go just Google free therapy resources for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. In addition, I'm like, I'm waiting for that email. I'm waiting for that text, that phone call. When you audition, do you just let it go? Like, okay, if it happens, it happens. Or what?
Actually, you're gonna think like that. Yeah. But I remember Michael B. Jordan said every time he left the audition, he threw away the sides and he let it go, and it's just like on to the next. Like, you can't think about it anymore. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the times that I didn't think about it anymore, the ones that I got. I know, it's so crazy. You really have to throw it in the trash and wipe your hands with it. You can't think about it anymore.
Right.
Because you're going to go on a lot of auditions and you're not going to get, you're probably going to get like one out of like
100.
Yeah. So you can't think like that. You can't. Yeah. I know it's hard because, you know, people have anxiety. I have anxiety. So I think about it over and over again, but you really have to just let it go.
Anxiety. I want to talk about that. So what brings those emotions up for you?
Just like if it's like a part that I really want, you know, it's like, oh, I really want this part. It's like perfect for me. So you, those type of parts, you're like, oh, I'm thinking about it. Like, it's been 3 days. They haven't called. I probably didn't get it. So you're thinking about that. But I mean, at the end of the day, I've learned to let go. Yeah. It's a process. It takes time. But yeah, you really have to let it go. Because it's parts that you're going to like. So think about it. You got to think about it like that. Like, oh, that's really a part that I really like. But they're making new TV shows, so many different networks and apps and just going on. It's going to be a lot of different parts that you're really going to like. So that's how you have to think about it. Let it go.
Yeah, I need it. I remember the very first few auditions I had, and I knew what show it was. And in my mind, I'm like, holy crap. I was daydreaming, driving around. If I land that, I'm going to be on red carpets. I'm going to be followed by paparazzi. Like, my life about to change. I'm about to get paid. The money part, too. I'm already spending the money in my head.
I'm going
to it's on Zillow house hunting.
Yeah. I'm already spending the money in my head. I'm like, that's how much I'm getting paid today? Shit. I already have my cart ready to go. I'm like, I'm about to buy it once that thing hits. Like, and none of them I got. I'm still here.
It's still in the cart. It's still in the fucking cart, chilling.
Shoot, I'm still wearing Converse over there. It's not Gucci yet.
That that was one of the biggest advice that I got when I started acting. They're like, don't think about the money at all.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, they said, because if you think about the money, I think you'll be even more stressed out because you can't depend on it. You can't depend on getting that job. So it's like, oh, if I get this job, I'll have this money to pay rent. You can't depend on acting. You can't depend on acting like that. So I think that was the like one of the first advice that somebody gave me. Like, do not think about the money, not even for a second.
Oh my God. I can tell you how many times I've spent the money in my head already. So many times. But how do you, so when you moved from Houston to LA, did you come here alone, or did you already have like a
community? Oh, my sister.
You were fine with
me. My sister, that's okay. I did have to make friends. So that's it. You know, it's crazy. Oh my gosh. If someone is trying to move to LA, like, trying to find your community is definitely it's a journey.
Ooh.
It's a journey. Because when I first got here, it was, I went into the wrong group of friends. And that, even though it was fun, it was turmoil at the end of the day. So you really got to find your genuine people that hopefully that's in your same work. So you guys can like work together too. But it's just like finding genuine people, it takes a little minute for sure. Yeah. So don't just be excited when you find that first group of friends, because sometimes it just doesn't work out.
Yeah. I totally relate to that.
Yeah.
You have friends for all your life, and then all of a sudden, one day, it's completely turned around. I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, fuck. Like, imagine friends you just met.
Yeah.
You know, that would be, like, they'll drop you quick like that.
Yeah, it's just like, I mean, you're just meeting people, everybody moving from all parts of the world and the States. There's a lot of bumping heads, and you just got to, you'll find your genuine. It takes time, because I know a lot of people move back so quick. A lot of people come to LA and move back within a year. I think, like, that's kind of normal.
Yeah.
Just staying here for, like, a year. So it's just that, too, and because they can't find their group of friends or can't find the right apartment or the right job, but, yeah, if you've been here longer than a year, congratulations.
No, oh my goodness.
When you came here, did you come with like the idea of like trying to fit in, or were you just already just like your own self? You just like you didn't really care?
I think naturally on my own self, okay. I've definitely just always been, I've been doing me for a long time. Yeah. So when I came here, I was a journalist and I met and I had friends at work who are also journalists. And those friends I still have to this day. Oh, it was the friends that I like kind of made on the party scene that kind of went, just blew up. So it's like the party scene, friends are up and down. I think the best type of friends to make are the ones at work for sure. Like what you like to do, you guys like to do the same things. More of them are more genuine. So I think that's the best way to go. Right.
It's kind of like the company you keep. Yeah. You know, you got around four drunks. Right. Probably and yeah, the fifth one. Yeah, you know what
I'm saying? Yep. Yes, exactly.
You'd be like, shit.
How did we get here? I didn't even drink before. What the fuck? Now I love Coronas. How?
I have a beer every time I freaking eat. Shit.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you become your environment, ultimately.
Mm-hmm. No doubt.
So,
yeah.
No doubt.
I wanted to talk a little bit about, wanted to tap back into your hosting, like you being a host and stuff. Mm-hmm. How did that come about? Were you just like, would you watch a lot of like sports, you said?
Oh,
so
yeah.
Was that like a motivator for you right there? Just watching commentators and.
Oh, I actually went to college for it. I already knew I wanted to be like a journalist or host and something of that nature. So I did like the news station and stuff in college. Okay. So I loved it. I've always loved just like hosting and talking and sports and entertainment journalism is what I came to LA for. So obviously I know sports. So that was like the first thing I got into. And I've been loved it since I was young. I already knew like that I love that. But then when you actually work in it, like not just in college, it was kind of just fun, but when you're actually working and you have deadlines and it's just like boom 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 boom, I didn't know it was like that. And it didn't work out well for me, but those people who it works out for, like it's just like crazy hours, you're not paid enough. Sorry to those who are journalists, you might it just takes time to get paid enough, but I just didn't like it enough to take that time to get there.
Right.
But it's just like it's a lot. It wasn't for me.
Yeah,
but I like hosting like just for fun, like this type of stuff with my friends. I'll do, you know, do stuff like that. But like who have you guys ever like hosted before, like work? Mm-hmm. Really,
have I hosted anything? I don't think I've hosted like a web series, but that's it.
Yeah,
that's the most I've done, but
But actually doing it for your 9-to-5 is a lot. It's really a lot. So it's like when you make it, you can get paid off doing this. Just doing it on your own time, on your own schedule. That's probably what I would do.
Like podcast. People make so much money podcasting.
Yeah, they do. What the heck?
My God, for talking.
Bro, oh my gosh. You know, Gilly, what's his name? Gilly the Fresh or something? Gilly the King.
The King, yeah.
Yeah, Gilly the King. What? They just like signed a $100 million deal.
Whoa!
Being a podcast.
Wait.
Yes.
Are you serious?
It's wild. Just doing your own thing.
$100 million.
Yo, $100 million. That's an NBA player's contract.
Yes. Yeah. They made some money. So hey, you guys stick with it. You're next.
Yeah, I'll make a call.
I'll talk for the rest of my life.
I'm about to make a call real quick. Was that called Scientology?
Sky, dude. Well, you're already on the radar.
I hate you
buddy.
So much.
I'm on the radar. Right? I'm going to get an email
right
now.
Oh, you did Disney, bro? Oh, yeah.
Oh wait, what? Oh, sure. You're what? Filipino? I can make it the first Filipino that's done stuff. Cool. What do I need to do?
All right. That was funny.
See me on TMZ in 2 weeks from now. I'm all famous. When you see a deadline post in about 2 to 3 months,
you know what happened.
You know exactly what
on
happened.
On the rise, new actor, just booked.
I get an Emmy next year. You know what months. Happened. I'm joking.
I hate you.
Oh my gosh.
That is hilarious.
What do you going on right now? What did you know? What are you working on currently? Anything?
Currently, I'm actually getting a new team. I actually fired my team because I want somebody. I want people who know the direction that I'm going in. Because I got my team got my team October 2020.
Yeah.
So I'm like another person right now. I'm 22. It's 2022. I'm about to be 2023. So I'm in going different directions. So I just want somebody that can cover all the directions that I'm going in. So right now I'm in between teams. So I have to hire. So I'm planning on hiring like right before the new year, and then new year I'm gonna go hard again.
Season,
yeah, right.
Right,
pilot season. Yeah, pilot season. And I mean, it's episodic season right now, and a lot of my friends say it's kind of slow right now, so I'm not really missing too much. So I'm cool right now. I'm kind of chilling. Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of in my fashion bag right now. I work at Fashion Nova, so I'm like planting seeds for my future empire, because I want to get into fashion. I want to build a fashion empire along with my acting, and I want multiple income. I'm trying to be like Rihanna, billionaire.
Yeah, you know? I feel that. Yeah,
so I'm planting my seeds in the fashion space right now too, and it's a lot of fun. So
that's awesome. So actress, fashion.
Yeah.
Yes, I love it.
I'm doing a lot.
Boss moves.
Yeah, boss moves.
Yes, I'm thinking for the future for sure.
Heck yeah, building that empire. Like, that's awesome. That's awesome. So where can people find you? What's your Instagram at? TikTok, Twitter.
Yeah, so my Instagram is thechris, K-R-I-S, exclusive. It's funny, I started TikTok, but I'm just not good enough at posting. Because you know how, I got famous on Instagram because I dunked basketball.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's on a short goal, but like I dunked basketball and it got 20 million views.
Jeez.
So it's just like, okay, so that's how I got famous on Instagram.
But she wasn't doing normal dunks. She was windmilling. She was doing it all. She was like, I was like, yo, wait. She did the Michael Jordan. She got elevation too. I was like, oh!
It's that Houston baller.
So it's just like, it kind of tried to force me to be an influencer, and I tried to keep up, but I'm just like, I can't be an influencer. It's too much for me, like trying to be an actor and in fashion and doing all this other stuff. Yeah. But I don't know. Maybe I was trying in my influencer bag in 2023 again, but right now, just Instagram. Yeah.
All right, there you go. Instagram. So it's the Chris exclusive, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I remember. I have a good memory. I'm just kidding. Well, thank you so much for doing this.
Yes,
this was fun.
It was fun.
And yeah, hopefully we do it again sometime. Next time we'll be promoting her own series regular show.
Period.
Yeah. That's just how she's promoting something next time.
So definitely.
Yes. We gotta put that in the air.
Thank you. I'll see you guys later.
Yeah.